We begin the current daf Maseches Bava Metzia daf Nun Hei. We begin 14 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues and concludes the discussion that it had from the previous daf, which it was discussing part of the halachas of Maaser Sheni, specifically regarding the halacha of Chaimish, where there are certain halachas, including Maaser Sheni, that there's an obligation. If someone deconsecrates, redeems the Maaser Sheni, he has to add on a fifth if it's his own Maaser Sheni. So the halacha that was mentioned was that of Rabbi Shu ben Levi. So the Gemara continues and says, Tanika v'seid Rabbi Shu ben Levi. We have a braisa that supports Rabbi Shu ben Levi, where he said that the halacha of adding on a fifth for being mechal, for redeeming Maaser Sheni, is only on the hektish rishon, the original thing which was sanctified, but something which was a secondary hektish, that there's not going to be the halacha of a chaimish. So says the braisa, Parazu tachas parashal hektish. Let's say someone wants to redeem a cow of hektish. So he says, this cow will take the place. He wants to transfer the sanctity to another cow. Or talazu tachas talashal hektish. Or let's say it's regarding a cloak. He says, this talus will take the place of this talus of hektish. Says the braisa, hekdeshi padri. So even though he didn't give an exact amount of money for the transfer, still the halacha is that in general, hektish, even if it's worth a mana, it would be considered mechulal and deconsecrated, even on something worth just a pruta. And you would be able to be permitted for the thing of hektish. Now, however, so although that it will work as a chil, but viyad hektish alal yoinu, but hektish will have the upper hand, meaning, if let's say the object that you're transferring it to is actually worth more than the item of hektish, so then hektish has acquired that extra amount. And if let's say hektish is actually worth more than the thing you're transferring it to, so though the chil will work, but you have to supplement and then pay back to hektish the discrepancy of how much was missed out in what you transferred it to. But it works. That's if, let's say, you just said this cow should take the place of this cow. Continues the braisa. Let's say parizu b'chamish shlom tachas parishal hektish. Let's say this cow, for a value of 5 shlom, shall take the place of this cow of hektish. Or talizu b'chamish shlom, or this talis, for a value of 5 shlom, should be tachas talishal hektish, should take the place, should be transferring the kedusha of this talis of hektish. Says the braisa again, hekdeshi padui. So the hektish is going to be redeemed, even though the talis or the cow that you're switching it to is not even worth that amount. In other words, the chiddush the Brice is saying is that don't say since the person said a certain amount and it's not worth as much as he said, so therefore there's no value in what he's saying and therefore there is no transfer. Rather, says the Brice, no, that hektish is considered redeemed, and since it's not worth the 5 shlom that he's saying it was, he has to then supplement it. That's those two halachas, which are saying the same chiddush, just one more chiddush than the other, that hektish will work even on something not worth the value of hektish. That continues the braisa, which this is the primary reason why we're bringing it in, al hektish rishon meisav chaimish. On the primary object which was muktash, which was sanctified, that when you come in to redeem it and it's your own thing, then you have to add on a fifth. Al hektish sheni, but on secondary hektish, meaning of, let's say, what this person went and transferred it. Now the transfer, he wants to be paid to that which was transferred. It's a secondary. It's not the thing that was hektish itself. Then says the Braisa, like Rabbi Shimon Levi, ain Maisav Chaimish. Then you do not add on the Chaimish, as we taught from two different psukim, which Tais on the previous daf says you need two psukim, because one's talking about Beisa, and one's talking about his Behemoth Tameya, which as Tais proves that that's Metatlan, that requires two different limudim, that the halach of Chaimish regarding hektish only applies to hektish Rishon, not to hektish Sheni. Now Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which continues on a related vein of the previous Mishnah, which was speaking about the halacha. Actually, the opening halacha of this Mishnah continues from the theme of the ma'a kesef that was mentioned as an example for the halacha of Aina, which was the topic we're talking about over here. Then the Mishnah segues to other halachas relating to ma'a kesef, and then goes into the halacha pruta that relates to that, and then goes into halachas of prutas. So it talks about coins, and specifically of ma'a kesef and then of prutas. So the Mishnah opens up, ha'ina arba kesef. As we said in the previous Mishnah on the Mem Tesma Beis, that the halacha of price fraud, for when a person purchases a sela, it's going to be up until a value of a sixth. So that's going to be 4 kesef for a sela, which is, there's 24 of the ma'is in a sela. So 4 of the 24 is a sixth. That's how we said a shtus is considered the halachas of a na for a sela, which is 4 ma'a of kesef, 4 silver ma'a. That's regarding the halachas of a na. Another halacha regarding ma'a kesef, which is a silver ma'a, a certain type of coin, is v'hatayna shtei kesef. A person's claim, the plaintiff's claim in court, to require what's called a Shvuas Hadayanin, which is the judges make the person, the defendant, swear, which is what we know as Maida B'miktzis, cannot be less than the claim of two silver ma'is kesef, which is the claim has to be, you have two silver ma of mine. And then the defendant admits to at least a pruta's worth, but he denies the rest, or he denies all of it besides a pruta. That's what we know as the halacha of shvu'a ma'idim miktus. Then he has to make a shvu, but again, the claim has to be at least two ma of kesef. Again, it's just saying different halachas regarding ma of kesef. Regarding aina, it's four ma of kesef out of the 24, which are shtus. Regarding a halacha of shvu'a ma'idim miktus, there the claim has to be at least two ma of kesef. Now, v'haidash of a prut, as we said, regarding this halacha of ma'idim miktus, there has to be a claim, and there has to be a partial admission, which that partial admission has to be at least an admission worth a pruta. Now, once we talk about, as the Gemara will illustrate this, the Chiddush in our Mishnah, once we're speaking about, which we introduced the claim of two ma'al kesef because of the previous Mishnah, Vainar ba'al kesef, so then part of that, the defendant responds with his Aida as a Shavu Pruta, so then the Mishnah mentions Chamish Prutas in. There are actually five halachas that require a Pruta. One of them is the halacha that we just mentioned, is Ha'idah Shavu Pruta, that if, let's say, to be liable for the Shavu'a of Ma'idim Mixes for partial admission to a person's claim, to be liable for an oath, that admission has to be at least a Pruta's worth of the claim. That's one. For Isha Miskadesha B'Shavu Pruta, that a woman, to become engaged to a man, he has to at least give her something worth a Pruta. V'anenim B'Shavu Pruta Min HaHekdesh Mol, if someone has benefit inappropriately from Hekdesh, that's considered the halacha of Me'ila, of misappropriation of Hekdesh, and he's liable in those chiyuvim. V'hamaiti shava pruta chayav l'hachas, if somebody finds something worth a pruta, then he has to announce it to return it, but if less than a pruta, then actually, as the Gemara said in Eilim Metzias and Avchav Zayin Med Aleph, that we learn now from Asher Toivad Mimena, which is lost from him, which excludes something that's not even worth a pruta, that there's no obligation of announcing. And v'ha'gozlas chaveir shav a pruta b'nishbalay, somebody robs from his friend something worth a pruta, and then he swears falsely and denies it, and then he admits, yilchen achra v'afil l'madah, then he has to go after him, after he swore falsely and then admit, where he's not going to have his atonement until he literally goes and brings it to that, the victim's hands, and not even to his agent, as the pasuk says, Mebin Merhei, v'nasin l'asher Hashem, he has to give it to the one who he's guilty to, even if it's a faraway land, like Madai. These five halachas require a shava pruta. So the Gemara asks, Tanin l'chad zimna, the opening halacha of our Mishnah, why is our Mishnah saying, we already learned it once, which was the previous Mishnah, said ha'ina, that the halacha of ha'ina, is arba kesef me'eser marba kesef l'sela. It's four out of the 24 coins of ma'al kesef that's in a sela, which is a shtus l'mekach, meaning if there's a differential of being overcharged or undercharged for the transfer of a sela, for the change, and it was a difference of four out of the 24 coins, which is a six, that's considered enough. So we already said that, why is our Mishnah repeating it? So says the Gemara, you're right, it's for the next halacha, which is also about ma'al kesef, hata'ayna shtei kesef, that regarding the claim in court has to be two silver ma'al, and v'haidah shav pruta, and that the defendant has to admit a list of shav pruta, that's what was the necessary chiddush of our Mishnah. It was only brought in incidental for the next halacha of also relating to ma'al kesef, that halacha we wanted to teach you, that it needs to have a claim of two ma'al kesef. On that, the Gemara asks, hanami tanina, but that halacha was also taught in the previous Mishnah, Masechta Shavuos. The Mishnah says, Shavuos hadayanin, the oath mandated by the judges, hata'ayna shtei kesef, the claim is two silver coins. Vaidah shav pruta, and admission is shav pruta, and that's where the primary halachas of Shavuos are mentioned, Masechta Shavuos. Why does our Mishnah here in Bav Metzi and Perek Hazav mention that same halacha? So the Gemara says, you're right, Sefer Yitzchak Chalei D'Ketanim is actually necessary, because we wanted to say the Sefer, and it was segued from the previous Mishnahs that talks about Aina. So we said, Aina, like we said, is our Ba Ma'al Kesef. Now, relating to Ma'al Kesef is also the claim of Shtei Kesef. Now, the claim of Shtei Kesef needs the defendant to respond to at least an admission of a Shava Pruta, which those are the next words that the Gemara quotes from the halacha of our Mishnah of Chamish Pruta Sein V'chulum, which that's the other halacha, which is the first of that there are five different cases that require at least a Pruta. So the Gemara asks, if you're listing a list of the things that require a Pruta, and that was the primary chiddush that the Mishnah was giving a list of, So the listening nami ha'ino pruta, which is actually the topic that we're discussing here in this parak, which was, we had mentioned the ha'ino as arba kesef, that could also be the list of prutas, and it could be a sixth item. For example, let's say the item that was being sold was worth six prutas, so then the lowest denomination regarding monetary law would be a pruta, and therefore that's also something that requires at least a pruta. So why doesn't it mention that ha'ino requires also at least a pruta? Some Rav Kahane says, Zayis Emeris, this comes to tell us from the fact that it doesn't mention it, is Einein Ela Prutas, that the Halacha of Eino does not apply to small copper coins of Prutas if it's less than an Isser, which is a silver coin. That's the smallest thing that Eino will happen to. It cannot be with Prutas. You're right, it's not going to be a Prutas enough. Eino has to be with a silver coin. However, the Levi Amar, he says, no, yes, Eino Ela Prutas, there is Halacha of Eino for Prutas. And the Chen Tani Levi b'masnite, so to Levi, who he had organized his own Seder of Brises, he learned it explicitly in one of his items that have the halacha of a pruta, is Aina. He says Chamesh Prutas, and he has a different list of five, which Gemara is going to discuss why he has that discrepancy from the cases of our Mishnah. Says it's five cases that require pruta. Ha'ayna, pruta. Again, like the question that we asked, and that's how Levi holds, that the halacha of Aina also requires and is even by a pruta. The Haida Pruta, like we mentioned in the Mishnah, the admission of a claim to create a Maidim Meitzis has to have at least an admission of a Pruta. And like we said in the Mishnah, the Kedusha Isha Pruta, the Kedusha of a woman requires at least a Pruta. And the Gezla Pruta, like we mentioned in the Mishnah, to be chayav a carbon for an oath if he swore falsely, and additionally to have to go after the person that he stole from to return it to him requires at least the value of a Pruta. And the Yeshivas Hadayana Bepruta. He mentioned something that our Mishnah did not say, that the establishment of the court, for example, let's say somebody has witnesses, or the defendant himself admitted that he owes the other person money, but he's deflecting his payment, he's not paying, so the court convenes and they force that person to pay up, that has to have at least an amount of a pruta. So the Gemara asked, "V'tanda didam, my time will look at Tony Yeshivas Hadayanim. Why didn't the Tanna of our Mishnah mention this fifth one that Levi mentions, that of the convening of the courts to require someone to force him to pay up a monetary payment of at least a pruta?" So the Gemara says, "Because Tan legezel, since the Tanna of our Mishnah already taught the halacha that the obligations of theft require him to return it and to be chayav karban shvu on the pruta, so obviously we see that a pruta is considered monetary obligation, and therefore that we could force the person. So obviously we would know by default that the halacha of Yeshivas Hadayana would be with a pruta." So the Gemara asked, "But wait a second, milay tani gezel v'gatani aveda? But didn't our Mishnah say a seemingly then extra halacha too that you would also know by implication? We say a case of returning theft that it requires a pruta. We just talk about the obligation of returning a lost object that's worth a pruta. But why then? The same logic would apply. Once you know that it's considered money for gezel, then you would know the same thing for aveda. Why, if we're not mentioning yeshivas hadayanan, do we mention halach of hashavas aveda for a pruta?" So that the Gemara says, no, hanach itzchale. Those two cases of gezel and aveda, you would not know one from the other. Meaning yeshivas hadayanan, we know. If it's money, then the courts could force. But gezel and aveda each have their distinct chiddush and halacha, and that's where we have to say them individually. Why? Gezel, regarding the halacha of gezel, to teach us that you have to go all the way to madai, to where the person is, to give him, even if it's just worth a pruta, was to teach us this halacha that ha-gezel mechaveh reshav a pruta v'nishba. If somebody robs from his friend something worth a pruta and he swears falsely, and then he admits, yilchena acharav afil l'madai, that he has to go after him all the way till madai. That's a chiddush that you would not have known otherwise. You would think maybe you can give it to the shliach. So that's why we have to say the case of gezel. Aveda, regarding the case of a lost object, had to tell us a different chiddush. That hamaitzi aveda shava pruta chayav laharchas, this that we said that if someone finds a lost object, if it's worth a shava pruta, he has to announce it, was coming to say that if he finds it and it's worth a pruta, the avagav dizal, and that is even from the time when he found it till the time when he announces, it already went down in value and it's already worth less than the shava pruta, that's what I have to tell you. But the time that you found it is worth a shava pruta, you have to go ahead and you announce it. That we would not have known by implication from gezel, and that's why we mentioned both gezel and aveda. But yeshiva sadayan, and we know by implication. So the Gemara asks now, "V'Levi my time loitani aveda bepruta." Why doesn't Levi mention the case of finding lost object, as we just described? That's different. So on that, the Gemara says, "No, tani legezel." He already said you don't need to have a case of aveda because you already said the case of theft that it's considered a chiyuv to return it when it's worth a pruta. So too for finding a lost object. So the Gemara asks, "But amilei ketani gezel ketani shivas adyan." Same question that was asked on the Mishnah. It's like in the reverse for Levi. What do you mean? Well, we said by Levi, he says both the case of gezel and yeshivas hadayanin, where there also you would know one by implication of the other. So then why doesn't he mention the case of Aveda? So the Gemara says, no, Yeshivas HaDiyanin Itzuchalei. No, Aveda you know from Gesel. But Yeshivas HaDiyanin was necessary to say that the halacha applies only by a pruta because Lafuka mid Rav Katina. It's coming to exclude from Rav Katina. Because the Amr of Katina, he says, Bezin is kalkin, the cords are required to convene, a filipachis meshavaprut, even for less than a shavaprut. So therefore, you have to say explicitly that case that Levi brought in his prices to exclude from that opinion that no, it's only with a pruta, but Aveda, you would know by implication from Gezel. So the Gemara asks, but Levi, my time, my leitonic hektish, why didn't he mention the case of that for the me'ila of hektish that it has to be worth a shavaprut? Now the Gemara says, Bechulin Kamarikas, Levi's collection of five items that require pruta was only talking about unconsecrated produce. Because from the Kamai wasn't talking about sanctified items. So the Gemara asks, Elatanda Didam, but then the Tana of our Mishnah, the Kamai Bekachim, that is talking about sanctified things, as he mentions the case of Me'ila, that's the Shavu Pruta for Hektish, so Nisni Maisi Bepruta. So then it should have said, additionally, that to be Paida Maiser Sheni, it has to be worth at least a Pruta, but if it's worth less than a Pruta, then you cannot redeem it onto money. So that's also something that requires a Pruta, and even though it's Hektish, but the Tana of Mishnah is mentioning items of Hektish. So the Gemara answers, Kamanda Amar in Bechem Shei Pruta. The Tana of our Mishnah is going like the opinion that we mentioned in the previous daf, that to redeem Maaser Sheni produce, it's not enough that the actual produce itself is worth a pruta. It has to have that the fifth, which you add on, will be worth a pruta, which makes that the actual principle itself has to be actually four prutas. So therefore, since we find that the Karen has to be more than the Pruta, we can't say the Maaser Sheni has to be a Pruta to be paid. It actually has to be four Prutas. So the Gemara asks, but then, Balisni Chaimish Maaser Bepruta. Then it should have said, a fifth, the fifth of Maaser, to redeem it, has to be worth a Pruta. So the Gemara answers, Bekarna Kamairi. No, but that's what the Levi was only discussing, the Hatana of the Mishnah was only discussing principle, Bechaimish Le Kamairi. It wasn't discussing cases of fifths, that the fifth should have to be worth a pruta. It was only talking about principal items, and therefore, again, the principle of Maaser Sheni to redeem it is not one pruta, it's actually four prutas, that the chemish has to be a pruta. So the Gemara goes back, Gufa, we mentioned in passing that, according to that interpretation, that the reason why Levi had to mention Yeshivas HaDayanim is bepruta is to exclude from this opinion of Amar of Katina. If Katina said, Bezdin is kakin, that the court convenes, a filipachis mesh of a pruta, even for something, a claim worth less than a pruta. On that, Masav Rava. Rava asked from the following brisa. The pasuk in Beyikra says, "Ve'esa shechata min hakodesh yisham," that which he sinned regarding that which is holy, and he used it, so he has to pay that back. So the brisa continues as we continue to come with Beis that it's coming to expound the word ve'es, because the word es and the word gam and the Torah are all inclusionary ribui type of terms. So what's the ve'es coming to say? It's coming to include even that which is worth less than the pruta, that you have to return it to hektish, that it has the halachic status of me'ila. Now the question is, l'kodesh in, asked Rabbah. That sounds like that for hektish, there the obligation is even less than the shavu pruta. But the obligations that the court could require does not apply to a common man. So that's not like Rav Katina, who said that the bezna on the skakin for even less than the shavu pruta. So the Gemara says, Eli'iyat mahochit. Rather, if you want to say Rav Katina's halacha, you have to say as follows. I'm Rav Katina. He says, Im huskaku bezdin l'shava pruta. If the court had already established a court case between the claimant and the defendant for something worth a pruta, because you're right, to start off the claim with a hadyit, it needs a shava pruta. Only by hektish will we require the obligations of less than a shava pruta. But once they started, goymrin afil l'pachas m'shava pruta, then we will conclude, meaning we'll continue the court case, even for less than a shavu pruta. So if let's say the second guy then retorts back and he goes and he wants to claim back from the other person something that's worth less than a shavu pruta before the court gets up from the court case, then they will have to attend to his claim. Because tchilas hadin be'in pruta, the beginning of the court case, that requires a pruta to start it off. But gemar din lo be'in pruta, but once the court is already sitting, then you don't even need to conclude the court case for a claim of a shavapruta, even less than a shavapruta, that was Rav Katina's halacha, that bezdin will be niskuk even for paches mishavapruta. Now the Gemara continues in a related discussion, talking about list of five, which we mentioned five things in the previous Mishnah. Now related, as we mentioned these halachas of chaimish previously, the Mishnah says chamisha chumashin hein. There are five halachas that there is going to be a penalty of an additional fifth. And eluhein, and these are the five things. So the first list has a bunch of different items in that one list, which is ha'eichel. If someone eats truma, which that refers to what's called truma gedayla, which that's the first thing a person is mafrish from his produce, which that goes to the kayin, which approximation is 1/50. So if someone eats that truma by mistake, or trumas meiser, the same halacha, the same category is if, let's say, someone eats trumas meiser, which is when the levi gets the first tithe, he then separates a tenth of that meiser to give to the kayin, that's called trumas meiser. So if someone eats that trumas meiser, or trumas meiser shall demai, somebody purchases from an am aretz, he has to separate, out of doubt, trumas meiser. Now, as Rashi points out, but truma gedayla of demai doesn't apply, because the chacham did not obligate to separate what produce that you buy from am aretz to separate truma gedayla. Because as the Gemara says in Masech L'Saitav and Chesem and Aleph, that the Chacham sent messengers throughout the entirety of Eretz Yisrael, and they saw that the ignoramuses were only separating Truma Gedayla. So we see, but at least Truma Gedayla, they were careful for. So the halacha would not apply for Demai to separate Truma Gedayla, but Trumas Meiser, which is the tithe that you separate from their stuff. You have to separate a tithe of that tithe, because that's what's supposed to go to the Levi, and then the Levi is supposed to separate a tenth of that to give it to the Kayin. So if, let's say, someone by mistake eats the Trumas Meiser of Demai, or v'hachala, or by mistake he eats chala, which is a portion of a dough that person is making, he has to separate and give it to the kayin, or v'habikurim, or if someone eats by mistake bikurim, which are the first fruits that are also given to the kayin. Regarding all these, this is one category, ma'isiv chaymish. And the reason for that is because all these items that we mentioned, chala, bikurim, they're all called in the Torah the word truma. By Trumas Meiser, in the passing by Midbar Yitches, it says, v'hari ma'isiv emen the Trumas Hashem, that the Levi has to separate from his Meiser a separation, a truma, an elevation of it, a tithe to give to the Kohen. By Chala, it says over there in Bamidbar Tezvav, Chala Terimu Truma. By Bikurim, it says in Devarim Yud Beis, Utruma Siyadech, which the Gemara says in Masech Tzmakas, Avizayim Adaf, that's a reference to Bikurim. So therefore, they're all one category because they all come from the same halacha. They're all designated as truma, and when, as the Torah tells us, when someone eats truma by mistake, he has to add on the fifth. Second category is Vahapoide Nete Revai. Someone wants to redeem the first 3 years of the fruit tree, the pears are forbidden to have any benefit, they're considered arla. In the fourth year, it's the fourth year saplings, then a person could redeem it instead of bringing it up to Yerushalayim, and he would have to add on a fifth if he's redeeming his own neter avai. The way we know the halacha is actually from Gzer Shava, from Kaidish, from the halachas of Meiser, which has brought this limud in the Masechet Kedushin of Nadal Mabez. By neter avai, it says Kaidish Ilulim. By Meiser, it says Kol Meiser Arts Mizar Arts. It calls it Kaidish there too. And therefore, that's why these two of redeeming a person's own neter avai and the next case the Mishnah is going to bring of redeeming his own Meiser Sheni are learned out from the same halacha, because that we know Neter Avai from Meiser, which is because by the halacha of Chaimish, it doesn't say it by Neter Avai. It's learned out from a person when he redeems his own Meiser, and it says the word they're Kaidish, so too when he redeems his own Neter Avai, instead of taking him to Yerushalayim like his own Meiser, he has to add on a fifth. And U'Meiser Sheni Shaloi, and that's specifically when he redeems his own Meiser Sheni, because actually if he's redeems someone else's Meiser Sheni, actually then he doesn't have to add on a fifth, because as the Pasuk says in Yikra Chav Zayin, Ishmi Meisroi, when the man redeems his own Meiser, but if someone else's Meiser, he doesn't have to add on a fifth. So this is the second category, Meisav Chaimish. In these two cases also, you have to add on a fifth. Third category is, Hapoide Eshek Deshe. Someone redeems something that he was makdish to hektish, Meisav Chaimish, he has to add on a fifth. Again, that's only when he redeems his own hektish, not somebody else's, because it says in the Torah, ha-makdish. The one who sanctified, when he wants to redeem it, he has to add on a fifth. But if it's someone else's who sanctified it, and someone else redeems, he doesn't have to add on a fifth. Fourth category is, hanena shava pruta min a hektish. If someone benefits from a pruta's worth of an hektish item by mistake, where he's liable for a carbon me'ila, and he's Meisav Chaimish, he adds on a fifth. And the fifth category is v'hagoizles chaver shava pruta benishbalev, someone steals from his friend something worth a pruta, and then he swears falsely, and then he admits, so then Meisav Chaimish, he has to add on a fifth to the principal that is returning to the victim. So Amar Rava. Rava says, regarding one of the items mentioned in this list of five things that there's a Chaimish, Kasha Leila Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar the Amayra, Rebbe Lazar ben Pedas, had a question on our Mishnah. Trumas Meiser shall demai. One of the cases mentioned in that first category was the Trumas Meiser of demai. Meaning, what happens usually is that, again, a person, a landowner, gives Meiser to the Levi, and the Levi takes off another tithe from that, from the tithe that he got, which is called Trumas Meiser, gives it to the Kayin. Now, when someone does for demai, it's really a suffix. So the Meiser itself, which even a non-Kayin could eat, non-Levi could eat, so he takes for himself. But the Trumas Meiser, which has to go to a Kayin, that he has to separate. He separates a Meiser, And then from that ma'aser separates another tenth of that tenth, and that he gives to the kohen, but the ma'aser itself he actually could keep. So that trumas ma'aser goes to the kohen. That's what the halacha of the Mishnah is telling us, that trumas ma'aser shall deny. If someone by mistake eats it, he has to add on a fifth. On that, as Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, v'chi asu chachamim chizuk, did the sages make strengthening to add on to their chiddush? Trumas ma'aser of demai is a rabbinic halacha, because generally we assume when you buy from someone that he took off the necessary types. The chachamim were concerned that the amaratzim didn't know the ignoramuses, and therefore you have to separate. But it's a rabbinic law. So that's what he asked. Did Rabbanan require of adding on a fifth onto their rabbinic law of demai of trumas ma'aser, which the whole separation is only lidivrayim, is only rabbinic, and they made it kishal tayra, like biblical law? Meaning biblical law, you require if someone inadvertently ate trumas ma'aser, so then he has to go ahead, since it's called truma, you have to add on a fifth. But this trumas ma'aser of demai is only rabbinic law. So, okay, so the Rabbanan would make that, okay, you have to separate, you have to give it to the kohen. But to say that when someone eats it, and then he has to go ahead and add on a fifth too, but it's rabbinic law. Did they make that rabbinic law should be as severe and stringent as biblical law? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, he says yes, because Haman, who's the town of Mishnah, it's Reb Meir here. It's Reb Meir. The Amar that he said, Asu Chacham Chizuk L'Divrayim Kishal Tayr, although the whole thing in its inception was rabbinic, and still, Reb Meir said, when it comes to rabbinic law, they treated and strengthened their rabbinic law the same as biblical law. How do we know that? The Tanakh learned the Braisa. Hamevi get me Medina Sayyam. If somebody is bringing a get, a divorce document, from overseas, from the husband to the woman, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, and the husband had made him what's called a shlich leilocha, a messenger to bring to his wife to divorce her. So the Rabbanan required that the messenger from overseas has to say the following words, b'fanei nechtav or b'fanei nechtam. In front of me, the get was written, in front of me, it was signed. Now the reason for that is the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin in the beginning explains, either because of that they're not b'ki and they're not proficient halachos of lishma, to write it specifically for the woman, and therefore the shliach has to testify that he saw it being written for this woman, and or that because ein edim mitzuyin l'kaimai, because we need witnesses to be able to verify if the husband's going to contest it, there's no witnesses around because it's from overseas. So he comes and he says that he knows that it was written for her, and therefore the husband can't come anymore and contest it. So that's the rabbinic halacha of saying b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. Says the Braisa, let's say Nasnu lo v'loy amalo b'fanei nechtam. Let's say he gives her the get, and the shlich does not say in front of me it was written, in front of me it was signed. So the first Tana says yaitzi. So the one who married her based on this get has to divorce her. V'havlad mamzer, and if they had a child, the child's considered an illegitimate child, a mamzer. That's divrei meir. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. V'chachama imrim, they disagree. They say no, in havlad mamzer, the child's not considered a mamzer. Rather, ketzad yasa, how should they do? Yitlena mimeno. So the shlich should take it back from her, and then give it back to her in front of two people, and rectify the situation. And he should say, in front of me it was written, in front of me it was signed. So on that, the question is, on that braisa, according to Reb Meir's opinion, because the shlich didn't tell her, in front of me it was written, in front of me it was signed, which at most is a rabbinic halacha, it's concern, so she has to get divorced from the new husband she married based on this get, and the child's a mamzer? That's biblical halacha, to say a child's a mamzer? What are we talking about? We're talking about this is a real get. Rabbinically, they're concerned. So it says the Gemara, in, yes, that's the point we're proving from this braisa. Remeir l'tamei, Remeir goes according to his opinion mentioned elsewhere. The Amr of Abnun Mishmei de'ula, Aymer Remeir, Remeir would say, Kol ha'mashana mimatbeah shetav ha'chacham begin, whoever deviates from the precise terminology and the requisite customs that the chacham initiated by lachs of Gittin, yetziv avlad mamzer, you have to divorce and the child is a mamzer. The chacham treated their halacha like biblical law. It's like the woman wasn't divorced. You have to get, and therefore the new marriage is infidelity and the child's going to be a mamzer like she was a regular married woman. So therefore, says Shmuel, that's the understanding in the halacha of our Mishnah. Although this true mas of demai is that most is a rabbinic halacha, still the rabbanan treated their halacha like biblical law, just like by biblical true mas ma'isa you have to give a chaymish, so too for rabbinic law of true mas ma'isa, as we see, that's Reb Meir's opinion. Now, on that interpretation of Shmuel, to explain the halacha of our Mishnah, must Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes asked from our Mishnah, Masechtas Demai. The Mishnah says over there, mechalin oisai. where the context over there as the Masechta is talking about Mai, is talking about the Maiser Sheni of the Mai, which again, as we said, when the person purchases produce from an Am Haaretz, when you purchase from a respected Talmud Chacham, someone that's careful about the halachas, so you can buy and you could just eat it. But Am Haaretz, you have to suspect the only thing he took away, took off and separated and gave to the Kohen was Truma Gedoyla, everything else including Maiser Sheni, that he didn't, and then we have to separate it. So now when you separated that produce, so says the Mishnah Masechtas Demai, now what the person could do, he doesn't want to take up the Maaser Sheni, all the produce up to Yerushalayim, so he could deconsecrate it. He could do Kesef al Kesef. If let's say he took off the Maaser Sheni and was paid the debt onto money, he can now take that silver money and redeem it onto other money, onto other silver money. Or let's say Necheshes al Necheshes, let's say he has copper coins that he had separated the Maaser Sheni onto silver coins and he separated it onto copper coins, he can then separate that copper coins onto other copper coins. Or Kesef al Necheshes, he could separate the silver onto copper coins and the Necheshes al Peiros and the copper coins onto other produce, meaning even out of Yerushalayim, which generally you cannot. You could only take the Maaser Sheni produce and switch it into coins because that makes it easier to carry it to Eretz Yisrael. Leisucho lasi, it's too heavy to carry, but you can't change it from the money into produce. And that says this Mishnah that regarding the Maaser Sheni of Demai, you could even switch the copper coins into produce. Now, however, there's a machlekes what you do with the produce now. The first opinion says, V'yachzer v'yifte es aperis divrei meir. Meir says that, but then you have to go back and redeem that peiris back into kesef to bring up the money to Yerushalayim. Because like the Pasuk said in Vav Yadal, it says, B'tzarta kesef. You have to bundle up the money, the silver money, and bring that up into Yerushalayim. So although for Maaser Sheni of Demai, we let you, in the interim, switch the money back into food, but ultimately, before you go up to Yerushalayim, you have to switch the food back into man. That's remain. Chamam, they say, no, Yalu Peiris v'yechel b'Yerushalayim. You could even take up that exact produce and bring it up to Yerushalayim, and the Chacham did not require that you have to go back and be mechal back onto money. And if you want, you could take up the Peiris itself to Yerushalayim because they were more lenient. They were lenient in the Salacha regarding Maaser Sheni of Demai. Now, concludes Rav Sheshes his question. And he said that what we hear from this Mishnah is that there's a certain leniency regarding the redemption of Demai produce, which is, you could even be Mechal Kesef on Kesef, Kesef on the Cheshes. On that, he wants to show that we don't say that by regular Maaser Sheni of definite Maaser Sheni. In other words, he wants to point out, how could you say, Remeir holds, that the rabbinic law is going to be the same stringent as biblical law, and that's how you explain the halacha of our Mishnah. Although Trumas Ma'isav Demai is rabbinic, we'll treat it that you have to have a chemish like biblical law, but I'll prove to you that's not the case, that even Reb Meir himself has certain leniencies that he applies to the halachas of Demai, which in this case is talking about the Maaser Sheni of Demai, whereas in regards to regular biblical Maaser Sheni, we don't have that, because by regular Maaser, says Rav Sheshes, O mimechal linan, do we allow such a deconsecration in such a situation? Because even Kesef al Necheshes, which to have from silver onto copper, which that at least is somewhat of a deconsecration, meaning it's making breaking it down to from Kesef to Necheshes, which is the next step towards then consuming the produce in Yerushalayim, even that is not allowed. Because Vatanan, we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Maaser Sheni that says as follows. Selo shel Maaser Sheni v'shalchun shanes arvu. Let's say somebody had a coin, a sella of Maaser Sheni, which he had taken Maaser Sheni produce and transferred it to this sella. But the problem is he had another sella, which was chulin. Now these two coins got mixed up one with the other. And he wants to go ahead and use one of the coins for his chulin purposes. He doesn't want to make both of them, have to take them both up to Yerushalayim and spend them both on money. So what do you do? Says the Mishnah, Masechtas Maaser Sheni, so maybe besella, you bring a sella's worth of mois, of copper coins, and it comes out that va'imer you say as follows: kol makim sheyeshna sella shel Maaser Sheni. We don't know which one of these coins. So you say, okay, whichever one is the sella of Maaser Sheni, mechulelas al mois halalu are going to be deconsecrated on these monies, meaning on these copper coins, which are worth the amount of a sella, and therefore it comes out that both of these coins are going to be, both of these saloim are going to be chulin, and these other monies, these copper coins that he brought, they're going to be considered maaser. Then, ubaris yafa shebehen, then you select the two of the better, the one, they're both saloim, but sometimes coins get deficient, you pick the better of those two, just in case that's the more expensive sella, which if that's possibly the one of maaser, umachal lo yaleho, and then you go and you deconsecrate these monies onto that coin, so that coin should be maaser. And now you have that the copper coins, what we call the mois, and the other copper, the other sela, the other silver coin, will be chulin as it was in the beginning. So that's how, says the Mishnah Maseches Ma'aser Sheni, you're going to take care of the problem when you have these two selamim, and you're not sure which one's ma'aser, which one's not, that you take copper coins, the amount of a sela, and you pick the better one of that, and then you transfer that sanctity, you say that whichever one the sela, whichever one of these selamim is ma'aser Sheni is going to be on the copper coins, then you transfer back that you say the copper coins will be transferred onto this more expensive sela, now that sela becomes a ma'aser Sheni, and now the copper coins and that other sela are both going to be considered chulin. So it continues on the top of Nun Vav Men Aleph. The reason why we required such a procedure to first take one of the slime and be machalad onto these copper coins, and only then take the copper coins and be machalad back onto the better of the two slime, and we don't say very simply that you take the better of the two slime, and you say very simply, you say, if this is the one of Ma'aser, then good, that's the one. And if it's the one of Chulin, let it transfer the other Selah's sanctity onto this Selah. Why doesn't it do that? Because they said, because you could only be mechal the kesef of Ma'aser Sheni onto copper, and only that was done in extreme duress situations. But to take from kesef to kesef, from one seller to another seller, that's not in a form of chilul, because it's not a way of pidyon, it's just swapping. But that's not creating a situation of pidyon, of chilul. And therefore, even in situations of deichik, like here, where you're stuck because you don't know which one's which, you can't do that. Now, so what we see from this halacha is that if even by taking from a silver coin onto a copper coin, which was only allowed, not even silver onto silver, only silver onto copper, and even that was only allowed in extreme situations when you're just stuck because you don't know which sela is the ma'aser, which one's chulin, and therefore the halacha is, loy she'ekayim kein. It's not that you could leave it in that situation, as we explained, because that's going to actually be degrading for Ma'aser to keep it in copper coins. Moreover, because copper coins actually get rot, they actually get ruined quicker. They get moldy, they get ruined. So therefore, the halacha was, Ela shechezu mechal na al kesef. So therefore, it says the Mishnah, that you have to go ahead and be mechaled back onto silver. But you can't go from silver to silver, so you got to go silver to copper, copper back to silver. That's what it says in the Mishnah, Maseches Ma'aser Sheni. So concludes Rav Sheshes his question. Ketani Mias, one thing that we learn over there is that regarding definite Ma'aser, which that's what the Mishnah is discussing over there, it tells us mechalin midoichik, that this that you can be mechal, the seller of Ma'aser Sheni, onto copper coins, and then we said you have to go even take it back, that's only in extreme situations, which tells us midoichik in extreme situations. Shaloi midoichik loy, but not in non-extreme situations, you cannot. Now, since you're saying that even from kesef to nechashis is only in extreme situations, yet by demai remeir tordos that you could be mechalel, there's no problem. Kesef to nechashis, you could go, you could do that, and therefore we see that remeir did not make a chizuk for the halacha derabbanan like deraisa, because if he did, then he would have said that you cannot be mechalel from kesef onto nechashis, which he says you could do by the meiser of demai. But we see clearly there that the Mishnah tells the Maseches Ma'aser Sheni that you cannot be mechal kesef onto nechashis, only midoichik. But generally you can't. And yet by demai says you could, so that refutes the interpretation of Remeir to be the Tana of our Mishnah, where we're saying that Trumas Ma'aser of demai is going to be as stringent as regular Trumas Ma'aser, but that's not true. We see that there is a discrepancy in the halachas between demai and regular Ma'aser. So Amar Yosef, he resolves the question of Rav Sheshes. He says, no, Ava Pesha Mikol Remeir Bepedyoinoi, although you're proving to me from the Mishnah Maseches Ma'aser Sheni that Remeir was lenient regarding the redemption, the pidyon, the deconsecration of Ma'aser Sheni of Demai in contrast to regular Ma'aser Sheni, which is biblical. But Machmuhu Bachilasei, the teretz of Shmuel, his answer still stands because Remeir was stringent regarding the consumption of Ma'aser Sheni of Demai, just like the regular biblical Ma'aser Sheni. And our Mishnah, which is talking about the Trumas Ma'aser of Demai, is also talking about consumption, and therefore it has the same stringencies as regular Trumas Ma'aser, and therefore to require a Chaymish. The time like Lintna Braisa, where we find that Remeir was stringent regarding the actual consumption of Demai, in contrast to the Mishnah over there, which was talking about just redemption. The Braisa says, Lohi Tiru, it was not permitted for a Chaver, who's considered someone that's scrupulous in Halacha, to purchase, who purchased demai from an Am Aretz, to be limker demai, to sell that demai to other people, until he goes and he takes off maestros from that, and then he can sell it off to other people. Ella, only, however, says the Braisa, there was an exception for a chaver, Tamil Chacham, who bought from Am Aretz, that he could sell it off to other people without taking off maestro first, is Lasitim Bavad. We only gave that dispensation to a wholesaler, where when he sells it to other people, he doesn't have to take off maestro beforehand, and rather he could sell it as is, as it's demai, and the one who buys it from him would have to separate his own maestros. Now the reason for that is because everybody knows a wholesaler, he has so much different stuff, he buys from many different amaratim, and that's how he has so much of a surplus. And since he sells in large measurements, so that's normal for him to have bought from many different farmers, many different amaratim, and then he sells it to the stores. So whoever's buying from him knows that he didn't separate it, therefore it's not going to come to create a stumbling block in halacha, therefore he could sell it without taking of maaser first. But, ubalabayis, but a retailer, a homeowner, someone that, an individual who bought from Am Haaretz, benkach or benkach, in either situation, whether he's going to go ahead and now resell it to other people in large quantities to stores like the wholesaler, or whether he's coming to sell in small quantities like his own store, and it's going to be just a little bit at a time, either way, he says, the Braisa tzarech la'aser, so then, Divrei Meir says that before he sells it off, he's going to have to first take off maestros. Now, the reason for that is because whoever buys from this individual thinks that it's his own produce. And since he's a chaver, so people treat him and they assume that he had taken a maestro, what he's selling them, and therefore they're not going to separate their own maestros. And therefore, Divrei Meir says that before he sells it to them, he has to take off his own maestros. That's for Meir. The sages say that no, echad asitin ve'echad balabayis, whether a wholesaler or whether an individual who is coming to sell, however, in large quantities, the way wholesalers do sell, he could sell and he could send to his friend and he could give it as a gift without taking off maestros first, and he doesn't have to suspect. Because the assumption is whoever's selling or giving in large quantities, the Chacham hold that the assumption is that the guy had not yet taken off the Meiser of Demai. And whoever is going to buy from him or get from him in these large quantities is going to first take off Meiser and only then eat it. Now Rashi just brings that in Masechtas Demai, they explain what's considered a large quantity. By dry goods is 3 kavan, by liquids is something that's worth a dinner. But one thing, says Rav Yosef, is that we see that Rav Meir was stringent regarding the halachas of Demai, just like the halachas of regular meiser, where he says that although this is demai, the halacha requires that, unlike the chachamim, that there's going to be these stringencies that if you're a chaver, you can't go ahead and sell it first, because regarding the other people that are going to buy from the chaver, and again, it's regarding rabbinic suspicions of this halacha of demai, that the other person might come to eat it, we see that Rav Meir treated it just like regular tevel, that regarding the separation of meiser, we do suspect that we treat it that you can, if you're a chaver, you can't just sell it to someone else because then you might be feeding him tevel. Now, although it's not biblical tevel, it's only rabbinic tevel, which that's halacha of demai, we see that regarding consumption, meiser is stringent and treats it like deraisa, and therefore Rav Yisus says you're right. Although the Mishnah Maseches Meiser Sheni is lenient of demai in regards to a definite meiser, that's only regarding pidyon. But regarding consumption, which that's the same halacha of our Mishnah regarding someone that ate the trumas meiser of demai, that will be Mechayev HaChemish, is going like Rav Meir, who we do find is stringent rabbinic law, like Deraisa law, at least in regards to demai of consumption, and that's how he's stringent here in this price, and therefore that resolves the opinion of Shmuel.